Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 16th of February. Joining us this morning, sound technician and superintendent of schools, Fred Van Fleck. Good morning.
The one and only. Good morning.
What, is there a rumor there's a second?
Oh, thankfully, no.
For many, many people.
Yeah.
At home and on the road.
Indeed. I was thinking at home, yeah. Absolutely.
And you brought along a buddy today.
I did. Gary Stortz, our Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services and also in charge of safety for the school district.
Give me your card. That's way too long. All right, so you're going to throw him under the school bus, or are you going to take the question this morning?
Maybe we'll tag team it, and if I don't know it, Gary can have it.
All right. One starts with the letter B, the other starts with the letter C.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Security.
Before
B,
Christ.
B or C?
We're going C.
All right. Why do we say that someone has a chip on one's shoulder? That's the C, chip.
You going there?
No. Go for it.
I haven't got a clue. I can't even make up a good one for this one. Usually I can come up with something at least kind of halfway smart alecky.
Well, I would think, like maybe a wood chip, poker chip, potato chip. There's lots of chips.
Yeah, but how
you
do,
went
how
brain
do,
dead on all three. So
yeah, but how do all those make someone be egotistical? I'm having an issue with drawing because a chip on your shoulder means that you're an egomaniac. I know that much, and so
one of those three was legit as a hint, but you blew it off. So we'll just go with it. A widespread tale insists it was once common for a rural bully to threaten to knock a chip off of someone's shoulder. Even exaggerated tales do not report the use of wood chips in this fashion. Popular speech isn't restricted to reality, however. Making fun of hotheads, it was said that some didn't know dried buffalo dung when they saw it.
Mm.
Okay, and here come the agrarian. This special kind of earthy chip was once very abundant. Imagination said that a tenderfoot was likely to place it on his shoulder, constituting a challenge likely to evoke laughter instead of fear. Any person who walked around with a buffalo chip on his shoulder... was consistently belligerent and not worth even fighting.
Well, we used to play...
Probably don't teach that one in school today, huh?
No, but we used to play a little cow pie frisbee when I was younger. We used to do that all the time. Works pretty good. You never did that?
Precursor, no. I built tree forts. We used to stay away from the cows, not to go in and... embrace one end of the cow.
Yeah, when it's dry, it works pretty good. I mean, they get some pretty symmetrical ones. You know, the issue is some of the grass kind of grows up into them, and you got to pull them off the ground a little bit and get them separated, but then they fly pretty well.
My question is whether or not the board really fully understands who they hired. Now, what kind of other experiences did you have in your childhood that you haven't shared so far?
So many, many that are probably not appropriate to share these days. So there you go.
Yeah, kind of right. Like what we just experienced, I suppose. Oh, boy. So security certainly is a big deal. Earlier this week it was at a collegiate level, but, there was another instance. When you guys are looking at the campuses throughout the region, but certainly within the school district also, how concerned are you that there's vulnerability and there's really nothing that can be done to make that fully 100% secure?
Here's the thing that just absolutely blows me away. If you would have rewound just 5 years ago and said, hey, we need to be thinking about first graders bringing a gun to school, I would have said, oh, no, no way. We don't need to think about that. But then you just think just a few weeks back, a first grade student coming to school, shooting a teacher. This is real stuff, and it's really happening out there with just crazy things. And with this increase in social-emotional health issues that some of our children are seeing these days is just creating an increase in us having to do what we call threat analysis. Basically, if a kid threatens to bring a gun to school, we have to go in and bring our school psychologist team in, and they've got a protocol that they follow to do a threat analysis to determine if the threat is credible or not, or potentially credible. And I'll just be frank. We had student who was under third grade. I'm not going to get real exact because we want to make sure that we don't zero in on who the student was. Under third grade in one of our schools who we did a threat analysis on, and it was perceived as a potential threat. It wasn't like a credible, it wasn't all that way, but it's potential, and about a kid talking about coming to school to cause harm to others. And this is real, and it's here in Humboldt County as well, and so we have to be ready for it.
Is it that broad a statement? I'm gonna hurt somebody? I mean, is that enough to shoot a flare up for you guys, or are there other elements, or does it have to get a little bit more concrete?
It needs to be a little bit more specific, and it really needs to be specific in, you know, describing how they're going to hurt somebody. Do they have access to whatever it is that they say they're going to use to hurt somebody with? And then we start going down that road. Is it repetitive? Are they drawing things? Are they talking about it a lot? Are they talking to other students about it? Are they talking to the teacher about it?
Not just a one-off in the cafeteria as they're wrestling their Salisbury steak.
Yeah, we don't serve Salisbury steak.
No?
Too salty these days. You know, you can't have that much sodium in
turkey gravy and mashed potatoes?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's a favorite still.
That was a Thursday. Gotta have it Thursday. Okay, fine.
Well, yeah.
Not everything has disappeared.
Yeah, so, you know, there's that balance. And you know, you go to that first grader who shot a teacher, and all kinds of jobs were lost over that because supposedly, and this is what the news said, so you know, there's always two sides to the story, but supposedly the principal knew about it. The teacher asked the principal to search the pockets. The principal said, oh, the pockets are too small. There's no way he has a gun in those pockets. And lo and behold, he had a gun in the pocket and shot the teacher with it. And so, you know, this idea that even one-off comments are not a big deal, it just depends on what the comment is and the context in which the comment was made.
So, Gary, as you jump into this arena and play with this, I'm sure that you're pretty tight with the campus cops and EPD and sheriff, I mean, whatever law enforcement entities. How do you know if somebody's just trying to get attention or somebody deserves detention or more?
Well, you provide all threats you consider credible until they're disproven, you know, which is really our sort of mode of operation.
Well, and you're rather succinct, too. Thank you very much. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Gary and Fred from Eureka City Schools. Guys, part of it is the culture, you know, and I know parents are taking things differently. Everybody's a little more tightly wound for whatever reason. The thing that I look at on the cultural side, and we had a little bit of discussion with Michael Davies-Hughes on Monday, is that there's no wiggle room. You know, everybody is just wound so tight, and to blame it on COVID, I think, is a cop-out. You know, yeah, there may be some influence, but as a cause, eh. But the lack of ability to just communicate normally. You know, there are three of us in here. If we said, who's a better team, the Giants or the Dodgers, we're probably going to go 2-1. Well, does that mean we punch out number one? Or we just kind of go, okay, and we go on. That interaction, I'm kind of on an anti-Zoom rant now. That I see that there's no, the nonverbals aren't there. We don't have to talk to somebody. We can space out. We can be in our own little world. That's not communication. That's more narcissistic something or another. Do you guys start, are you sensing that that's starting to happen now too with the kids? And I would suspect the teachers to a certain extent as well, that the communication skills, just normal people to people, are breaking down, and that that's in this swirl as well.
I'll give one context and I'll let Gary jump in with another. I believe we have a little bit of a double whammy going on right now. You hit COVID, that's one of them. But the other one is the drug culture that we have up here on the North Coast. The latest statistic I have is from 2019, St. Joseph Hospital, where most babies in Humboldt County were born. It was nearly one in four babies born at St. Joseph Hospital were born dependent to some sort of controlled substance. That has a lifetime impact on those babies who were born dependent. And that's something that's going to impact them for years and years to come. And that can be with learning. It can be with social emotional. But the impact is definitely there. And that's one of the things that I think is one of our biggest missions in schools up here, is to try to break that cycle of drug abuse.
Gary, I mean, you're doing the bobblehead, but that really doesn't work too well.
No, it doesn't really work for radio. The one thing that I would just kind of value add to that is school districts up here, Eureka City included, really work hard in trying to ensure that our kids have the soft skills necessary to be able to communicate with one another. And it's something that over time we've had to be more intentional about for a lot of the reasons that we're talking about here. You know, kids can look at each other, you know, with their head cocked to the side. And, you know, nowadays, you know, that's an invitation to rumble, and where, you know, that just wasn't necessarily the case too long ago. So being intentional, developing those soft skills are things that our teachers work on a regular basis.
So the teachers are having to do that, or you bring in experts, or you just have kids spend more time with each other, kind of the playground with a monitor, so that there's somebody who's there, and if things start kind of getting a little goofy, they step in. I mean, you know, that was kind of the way it was when we were all going through.
Well, let me give an example on the strategic plan. So Eureka City Schools has a strategic plan. We have 19 objectives on the strategic plan. And one of the things that's really interesting about that is if you were to rewind just 10 years ago, our number three priority on the strategic plan probably wouldn't even have shown up in the top 15, and that's social emotional learning. It's become such an issue inside our schools and something that we need to address that it used to be.
What does that mean, Fred?
So what that means is teaching students how to deal with their emotions, teaching students who are outwardly aggressive how to not be outwardly aggressive, teaching students who are inwardly aggressive and hurting themselves how to channel those feelings in a different way, teaching students who get angry, how do you manage that anger? All those components.
What about self-confidence? I mean, that's kind of across the board with everybody. Mm-hmm. Does everybody kind of get included in this, or is it just those that
absolutely.
We have are flaring out?
We have a curriculum at our elementary schools called Second Step that is designed specifically around social-emotional learning and how to handle your emotions in schools. And that is something that didn't used to be there. When we all went to school, there was no social-emotional learning where I went.
No, you were playing with buffalo dung or whatever it was. You know.
Cow pie frisbee. Come on, yeah. Cow pie frisbee. Yes, yes. I know there's people out there relating with me. I guarantee it.
Yeah,
that was a long pause.
But hopefully they're not going to be on this show. That's just an image. And I'm sure that there are some that weren't cured properly.
Yeah, they got a little soft once around the middle, but they had nice good crust on the outside, you know. You could tell quickly, though, because they were not cured on the bottom. So.
I suspect that, you know, you would be a quick learner on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And he's your leader, huh, Gary? Jeez.
That he is.
So where does social media get into this? You know, I would love, if possible, that on the school grounds, right where the sidewalk joins the grass. Okay, if you have your cell phone or any whatever device at that point, it will receive a magnetic pulse and you will lose everything that you have on it. That's it and that's it. We don't want any of those things here. We don't want you messing around with it. We don't want you worrying about it. moms and dads are going to have to call the office, and we kind of get some of that swamp drained. Would it drain the swamp, or would it cause more anxiety by the kids?
I'm going to challenge you a little bit on that one. Okay. You and I would tend to agree, but you and I also have a lot of gray hair. And the difference between our
thanks for the credit.
Well, you know, everyone has an image of you because, you know, you have a head for radio.
Yeah. But
and I have the face for radio, so we're a good match. There you go. So anyway, the social media is here to stay. I understand what you're saying.
But in the classroom, is it?
Oh, social media is.
I mean, we talk about cyberbullying and all those.
Yeah, but you're talking about the phone, where your phone just went dead when you walked in on the edge of campus. A phone is a tool that's just going to be here.
It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with senior management from the Eureka City Schools.
Two of them. We have more.
Two.
Yeah.
Well, I know. You got that Fortuna guy.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. He claims Rhea Dell.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He's upgrading.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huh. Interesting. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't come with you, so.
He must be
that Arcata rivalry thing still rearing its head.
Huh? I think he has this propensity to avoid you, is what I'm thinking.
Oh, well, then he's getting wiser with his age. Gary Stotts and Fred Van Flecker with us. Guys, the concept of social media, technology in the classroom is a big deal. Okay, it's there, and it's making things more efficient, more effective. That's great. But it comes at a cost, and it's more than just the financial resource. Kids not talking to kids not feeling as if they are being treated properly. I mean, all those types of things that you run into, cyberbullying. I mean, that was obviously it didn't exist when we were going through. There's a bunch of things that come along with that seem to be triggering a bunch of stuff. I mean, you guys were referencing it in the last segment a little bit, but incidents of teen suicide is certainly higher than what it was before. Drug use, a whole lot more. I would argue, at least with some of the stuff I've seen, sexual activity. I mean, there's a lot of peer pressure. There's a lot of that kind of stuff that wasn't as prevalent before. But what you're saying is that there's no way that, at least in the school hours, that can be curtailed or reduced or at least have a goal of elimination?
So actually what I was saying was, I'm not so sure that our society values that being reduced or eliminated right now. Technology really is where we're going as a society, more reliant on technology. The technology that's out there now, this is just absolutely amazes me. And maybe Gary will want to talk about it. He just got back from an ed tech conference, and it's artificial intelligence in writing. And why don't you talk a second about that? And this is the future, whether we like it or not.
AI is here to stay. I just got back from a big tech conference in Louisiana, and one of the things that our keynote speaker was talking about was our students needing to learn how to manipulate artificial intelligence. And not too long from now, a student is going to be able to, program into software a paper on Kill the Mockingbird that, you know, is angled toward a particular way. And, you know, what was being tossed around in New Orleans was making sure that students are able to cite sources. You know, if AI is here and anything that is repetitive is going to become automated here at some point in time, how do we then check the source to make sure that AI is valuable and credible and reliable? Like, those sorts of skills are going to become more increasingly important.
I think we see that in a lot of industries, whether it's automation or AI or the virtual reality, I mean, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is even separating further the human factor.
Right. Well, think
from
about
everything that's going on. So as you anticipate the next 5 to 10 years, okay, so what is security at school going to look like? Classroom sizes, or are there classrooms? Is everybody just going to be a hermit in their own house? I mean, you can kind of see this going in that direction unless there's some guidelines put
in
play.
One of the big efforts that we've got going on at Eureka City Schools right now is this this idea of a portrait of a graduate, and we're going to be having conversations with everybody throughout the community about what are the soft skills that we want our students to graduate with. We'll have conversations with parents and teachers and students and locally elected officials and business type, and you know, what is it that we want to ensure our students have when they walk across the stage at Albee Stadium. And the ability to collaborate and communicate and to be creative and to look at a particular task from multiple viewpoints and vantage points is something that I would imagine is going to rise to the top of some of the soft skills that we need our kids to be able to have.
I think that's an easy one for a lot of us to kind of grasp for the top third of any class, but it doesn't tend to be the one that causes, you both are smiling. It's the others, you know, the ones that I guess need a little bit more guidance.
Sure.
Might be the way, either single parent. Fred, you talked about the drug involvement at birth with the parents. I mean, parenting skills, you know, as goofy, homeroom. I mean, some of those things that are really almost historical or nostalgic now, maybe it's time for those things to come back. Just to, you know, this teacher knows me, he's known me for 3 years, they know what's going on, I have confidence there. Yeah, even the counselors probably change in that period of time, but this is one person at the campus that knows me and I feel comfortable with.
So we do have that all the way up through eighth grade. And homeroom in elementary is really easy because they're self-contained classes.
It is the room, yeah.
You got it. But then when you get into seventh and eighth grade, we do have advisory periods where they have that consistent teacher and working with students on that. But I'm going to give you one here that's going to twist your mind a little bit. And that one is, so go back what the argument was 10 years ago. Should we teach cursive in schools?
Yeah, I know that's going away.
Yeah. Oh, that's gone. That's gone. It's long gone. Now, here comes the next question. Gary and I were arguing about this just the other day, and that is, do we continue to teach writing in schools? Because if you go to this artificial intelligence, and right now you can say, as Gary alluded to, I was talking with a superintendent friend of mine who local control and accountability plan, that's this plan that we have to write. He spoke into some artificial intelligence and said, write an introductory for my local control and accountability plan. It needs to be about 500 words and include this, this, and this. It wrote the whole thing for him, and it's original.
We've got some of those in our industry, too, about writing commercials.
Yeah.
And it will voice it. And there's also avatars, mm-hmm. if you were in the mm-hmm. video,
mm-hmm.
and they look and speak human.
Yes, indeed.
With a backdrop that could be real. And so with that, what becomes real and what isn't?
There becomes a problem, going back to your hermit in a closet.
Yeah.
That conversation, do people go out into this artificial world through all this artificial technology and never leave their house? That's a scary future for us.
Yeah, culturally as well as mm-hmm. any other way.
Yep.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft Salad Dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred and Gary from Eureka City Schools. So what else is going on here other than this theoretical AI stuff?
Getting back on the safety conversation, we're lucky enough to bring on Officer Don Armanio, our new school resource officer. So now we've got two school resource officers that we're lucky enough to have at Eureka City Schools. Great addition, values to the team.
Why, Fred?
Well, it's interesting, and this is something to think about that's been going across the United States right now. There's been this idea of defund the police. Let's not have police on our school campuses. And we are really taking a different approach to that. My board is interested in taking a different approach to that. And that's building the partnership between the police department, Eureka Police Department, and Eureka City Schools. And this idea of police aren't on the campus to be just the heavy. Police aren't on the campus to be just the enforcers. Police are on our campuses to build relationships with students. You know what? Our police officers are our neighbors. There are the fathers and the mothers of our children's friends. And we want to humanize them and really work on building that relationship. And we also want to keep our campuses safe. Part of that is, unfortunately, having people on our campuses that carry a gun. And that's a reality for police officers, resource officers on our campuses. They do carry guns, and that's a safety factor in helping protect our next generation.
Do you get blowback on that, or do you get applause?
For the most part in Eureka, we have gotten applause for that. But that's not the same everywhere. There's school districts across the state of California who have actually pushed their resource officers out of their schools because they don't believe that they belong in schools. And we have to realize that there's certain students who will have certain reactions to police officers because they have some traumatic experiences with their parents or potentially with them. But again, I think that that's part of what we're doing is trying to teach that not all interactions with police officers need to be traumatic. And
I would think we'd normalize it.
Yeah, as long as you have the right person, and I'm very happy with the two resource officers that we have right now because they have that same philosophy about building relationships as opposed to coming in to knock heads. And so that philosophy really helps in that relationship building, helps us in a safe campus, and helps us in really promoting this idea of safety and that police officers are our neighbors.
I would think if you had a cop that had that attitude, they wouldn't be a cop.
Well, I've been pulled over by, maybe, by a police officer or two in my day who definitely...
Well, perhaps historically it was that way, and, you know, but as for a career, you know, you're going to go in and you think you're going to be able to do that. At least the guys that come through this studio, they don't talk that way.
Yeah, but I also think there's a maturing value that all of us went through, police officers go through as well. And I think that they grow into their position over time, and not everybody's built the same. And I think from day one, some officers are really great guys and aren't out to arrest somebody. And I think from day one, there are some that are out to arrest people. Just like anything, but like I said, I'm really happy with the work that's happened inside our district and who we have in those positions because it's definitely the right folks.
If two is better than one, is three on the horizon if budget was there?
No, I think two is our number. I don't think that we need to oversaturate because with two, we have 8 days a week. They each work 4 10s. And so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we have two resource officers, and they can spend their time going around to the elementary schools and to the middle schools and to the high schools, building those relationships. And if we have an emergency, they can help us there as well.
Yeah, how many campuses? You guys, 7, 8?
We have 4 elementary schools. We have a preschool. We have 2 middle schools.
Okay. Uh-huh. I'm at 7.
Yep. We have a comprehensive high school, and we have a continuation high school.
So 9.
Then we also have the charter school, Pacific View Charter, who's an independent charter of ours as well.
Okay. So that certainly keeps them busy.
Indeed it does.
Yeah.
Indeed it does. Yes.
Yeah. Are they able to spend enough time on each of the campuses to develop that relationship, though, with the kids?
We're starting to figure that out because our new second position just came on in January, and Gary might have something to say about that.
Both Officer Marcelon and Officer Arminio are doing a really good job getting into schools, having lunch with kids, reading books in some of our primary classes. So building,
hanging out,
you know, mm-hmm. and having students begin to see them, you know, in a positive light, somebody that's there to help, and they're really, really doing a great job with that right now.
How are you going to grade them out?
How are we going to grade them out?
Yeah. How do you know if, is this really going great guns? Is there, you know, gap management that's necessary?
Use a different analogy.
You don't like grades.
Great guns.
Gosh, he picked up on it. Imagine that. Show's over. See you guys. Thanks for coming by.
Hey, man, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while.
I think I found two.